Salutare tuturor și bine v-am regăsit la un cu totul altfel de podcast. Astăzi invitatul meu este anonim, pentru că este un fel de white hat hacker, sper. E un tip care mi-a dat foarte multă inspirație fix pe 15 octombrie 2019 când a postat un thread pe Twitter. Ok, nu vreau să vă complic viața cu cuvinte complicate. Ideea este că Liam a postat o chestie foarte faină care te poate ajuta să ștergi identitatea de pe internet dacă asta te preocupă. Dacă ești preocupat de acest surveillance, de supravegherea online, Liam are o soluție ca să-ți ștergi orice urmă, aproape orice urmă de pe internet. Undeva la 99,9% e greu să cureți absolut totul, dar se poate. Până la un punct poți să faci curățenie după tine dacă intimitatea, privacy-ul contează pentru tine. Așadar, în minutele care urmează o să trecem împreună prin sfaturile lui prin care poți să-ți recuperezi identitatea digitală și să o faci să fie doar a ta. Dar asta vine la pachet și cu câteva minusuri. Va trebui să renunți la anumite lucruri pe care le faci deja pe internet. Însă, oricum te uiți la acest lucru, te va ajuta acest interviu pentru că vei afla niște idei, niște ponturi despre cum poți să-ți protejezi mai bine identitatea. Auzind de foarte multe ori cu fur de identitate, cu lucruri de genul ăsta, astăzi o să auzi sfaturi concrete de la cineva care chiar și-a bătut capul să își curețe identitatea digitală de pe internet atât de mult încât are o cagulă pe cap. Hello, Liam. Nice to meet you.
Hello. Nice to meet you too.
So you gave us a lot of inspiration on October 15th, 2019, when you posted that famous thread already. It's went into 110,000 retweets, more than 400,000 likes. And everybody who's concerned about their privacy and then digital identity, they went through your every post in that thread. And we all got a lot of inspiration. And it's been my... I wanted to very much to have you on the podcast to talk about it. And maybe you can... I don't know. For someone who wants a video, a version of your thread, maybe we can give it to them and show them how easy it actually is to clean up after your own self on the internet. Okay?
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay, but first things first. Why are you wearing that thing on your head? Do you have anything that you want to keep private, or you're afraid someone will come after you? What's happening?
Well, actually, what's been happening recently is a massive target got put on my back. A lot of hackers were coming after me, and my privacy got compromised a lot because of the threat I made. It basically became a game between hackers to see if they could hack me and leak my private information.
Okay.
I'm not too much of a private person, but I like to minimize, you know, kind of the target on my back.
Most of the things you say there are no secrets. You just put it out there in one place. It's not a secret. It's not something illegal or something like that. I wouldn't understand why hackers would have something against you.
Because I basically said with my thread, you know, you can minimize yourself being hacked. My perspective was against hackers rather than, you know, the government.
Okay. So you're actually trying to help people from identity theft, not only surveillance.
Yeah, it's mostly, well, surveillance, as soon as your data leaves your computer, you have no say whether you're being under surveillance or not. But whether you give your information to hackers is very much in your control.
From my community and myself, for what you put out there, it's important, and I understand your risk you're taking to do this. But the thing that you haven't deleted your own thread shows a lot about your character, and we totally appreciate it. So if that helps with everything, maybe you can get some gratitude from us.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
So let's go through the advice you're giving here. So how to delete 99.9% of your digital footprint from the internet, a thread. And step one, preliminary requirements. Go through each email you can think of that you've used in the past 10 years. You'll want to recover them if you've lost access so that you can access other websites you may have signed up to using them. So that made me think. We use a lot of different email accounts, and there's some of us on every one of them, isn't it?
Yeah. Each little email you've made obviously has a few accounts attached to them. And some accounts, you know, like when you're buying stuff online, they have a lot of information about you. Sometimes it can have old credit cards. Sometimes it can have a lot of addresses. And a lot of addresses are actually public record. So once you have, you know, one person's address, their address is now linked through databases such as the Electoral Roll in the UK, some other databases in the US where private companies sell your data. So you want to minimize where hackers can actually look for information and get down that rabbit hole about yourself.
Okay. There's also that famous list of have I been pawned with old email accounts that nobody thinks of anymore, mostly Yahoo accounts. Or yeah. Even email accounts made on websites that are no longer there, and the domain names have been sold to someone else, and the emails from the old domain name go to the new domain name owner. So people don't actually think about it.
Something to that is a lot of old forums, a lot of old websites, anything that really gets put up and goes down, such as games. Quite frequently games will close, but their database will get sold on with your emails and passwords.
Yeah, so go ahead and try and find those guys after that project goes under.
Yeah, so essentially they just run away from that and have zero accountability. So it's up to you to really clean up your act.
Okay, let's go to step two, deleting old accounts from forgotten services. Use the search function on your email and look for phrases such as sign up or welcome. Recover account and log in into each service that pops up that you've received a sign up email from. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Is it enough in your experience?
Yeah, a lot of people don't purge their emails. You know, a lot of people tell me they have 50,000 emails in their account. How can they find the emails? Well, you've got a search function. So that's pretty straightforward. But then there's obviously people that actually clean up their email. And then that's much more difficult. You can go through programs to check, you know, if you have an account on a certain website. But I just thought I would include the manual process because this kind of thread was made for my friends at the end of the day. It was not meant to go viral.
Yeah, it figures. But eventually, how many services, forgotten services, did you find when you went through your email accounts?
My oldest email, probably over 30. At least.
How old was that?
Almost 10 years old now.
10 years old now, okay. And what kind of a service were you using when that happened? So did you find you actually still had a subscription to a service?
Well, I realized that all my old data was getting saved rather than me paying for a service. It was more like they had reasonable information about me, about my life, about my family, about anything. Because you have to remember, these services have order history, your address, potentially security questions that relate very much to your financial, you know, information.
Step 2B. Now look around the service for a delete account function. Google around by searching delete account service, blah, blah, blah. If there isn't one, Google or look around for a support email to request for them to delete your account. Under the new data protection policy and in the EU, every service, any company should have such a service, should provide that delete account. But did you manage to find that kind of option with the services you wanted to delete your identity from?
Yeah, it was actually relatively easy. Once you explain exactly why you want that information deleted, they're very much accepting of the fact that you don't want it to be public information.
You went with this to every account you own online?
Pretty much all the ones that I wanted to get rid of. Like I said, I'm not too paranoid, but there's just certain things you don't realize until after the fact that, you know, maybe you put a little bit too much information out there, or maybe that service wasn't as protected as you thought and secure as you thought.
How many services did you request that deletion of your data?
Over several emails, at least 40 or 50.
50.
And some of them were a lot difficult.
Was it difficult to do that?
Relatively, I took a few days out to make sure I purged all of them, but sometimes it's been over time when I realized that I'm not going to use that service anymore.
Okay, so it's like cleaning up after your own self eventually.
Yeah.
But you say that before deleting the account, you may want to purge all content and messages before you delete that account, because these accounts get archived. What actually happens? Yeah. So even if I delete my account, messages might still be on their servers?
So no matter what, if you delete your messages on anything, they're pretty much going to be saved on the server. But a lot of the time, if you archive your account or you delete it, hackers can recover it and then look through those messages still. Obviously, the servers are still going to have access to it, so you can't really help. You know, as soon as you send a message, it's going to be on there, but you can help if hackers have access to it.
Maybe that could help even with the email accounts you still want to use. If you delete, if you keep an inbox zero policy, you're going to have very little data that an eventual hacker can work with if they hack into your account.
Yeah, because hackers will use everything. They're super resourceful. It could be one or two words in your chat history that they could, you know, piece together to get your password, or it could be an address. It could be anything.
Step 3, checking if your information has been compromised already. Now you should have a list of all your usernames and all the services, ranging from streaming services to emails. Okay. That's a little more complicated, because nobody actually keeps a list for all this. Even if you use a password manager, how can you find all the services you're using?
So I messed this step up because I put it in a different order than I probably should have. But you can actually Boolean search your email and see on the clean internet whether your email has been compromised and put into a list on Payspin or some other website. But Have I Been Pwned is really good, and I think I linked that in the thread a little bit later too.
Okay.
So you don't really have to remember your passwords as such.
Okay. So you're giving more steps so that people can follow with account name, account password, and stuff like that. You should possibly Payspin links or underground databases also. How can you look into the underground databases publicly accessible on the internet? If you just Google your own email address, is that good enough?
No, but it gets a little bit more in perspective when you can see just if people Google your name, they could probably get your email. And then from your email, they could probably get your passwords just from Google. And that kind of opens you up to the fact that there's probably a bigger world out there that you don't really know about.
So just Google your own email address on the web and you might just find your own password on Google.
Yeah. A lot of people do that. It really opens your eyes to maybe I screwed up.
Yeah, it should, isn't it? It should open your eyes to that. So my email account and my email password are publicly visible on Google. That doesn't sound normal. by any measure. Okay. Step 3D, some database leaks are a bit more private and are still being shared, sold in private circles, but you can use this website, and you're talking about Have I Been Pwned, which you already related to. I'm going to link all the thread in the description for people that want to go through all the links. But step 4, this is a big one, removing yourself from Google. So now you've deleted your Facebook accounts, if you really want to do that. And you're recommending deleting your Facebook account?
Yeah, I would.
You're no longer on Facebook?
I'm on Facebook to a very limited sense.
Okay.
Just for Messenger.
So, but you're not under your own name? You don't put photos of yourself in there? Okay.
No.
So what are you in on Facebook for?
Messenger. A lot of family members or really, really old contacts that I may have no contact with anymore.
Okay.
I can get them through Facebook really easy.
So if you really want to keep in contact with some people, you just use Facebook under a false name and don't upload any photos of you or personal data. Yep. Okay. Good to know. Okay. But when you Google your name and location using... Okay. So the Google console. Let's talk about the Google console, and you're giving the link to google.com/webmasterstools and so forth. On that... you have activity controls. How do you actually delete yourself from Google services, from also from this, all the places Google is legally touching your data?
Yeah, so a lot of people don't realize that Google Console gives you a lot more control than you think. So Google will cache information for months on your search engine. So you might remove yourself, but the search engine's still showing that you removed yourself. So it's kind of redundant.
Okay.
You can use web archives, or you can see it through actually Google archives. So you can use their Webmaster Console, and you can pretty much delete most things that you have control over. Some people were coming to me as actors, and people that are quite famous, to remove information that they don't have control over. And I told them that wasn't possible through Google Console. You was going to have to come to a very personal agreement. Google Console is really great for, you know, let's say you deleted your Twitter and there's a lot of old tweets on the Google. You know, if I deleted my Twitter right now, there would still be old tweets on Google if you typed some nerd Liam. But
okay.
I'd be able to remove them using Google Search Console.
I'm just going through the Google Search Console and I just realized I cannot even publish most of the stuff I'm seeing here. I cannot put it on the podcast because I see so much intimate, not private, intimate data about my home location, my latest search. I'm going through this. It's some papers I've read, my emails, image search. What else?
Oh, yeah.
Names of people, contacts. It's everything in here.
Yeah, Google ecosystem is massive. So if you don't limit your privacy settings on Google too, you're basically opening them up to everything you buy, everywhere you travel, because they scan your emails for purchases, you know, flight tickets and such. They record your location, everything.
So
it's not bad if Google has it, but a hacker can get access to it.
Exactly. But okay, let's say I wouldn't mind Google having that. But the stuff, the level of insight I see in here about my activity and my life is so deep. If anyone else would have access to that, they would know way too much. At some point, they would even know more about me that I know myself. Because you tend to forget, but the internet never forgets. So your private data on your own account becomes even more dangerous to your own self if you forget about it, but someone else has access to it.
Yeah, and they're extremely good at weaponizing it. Extremely good.
Step 5B, let's go ahead. Protecting yourself against other services and any other services you used to use, you need to strip down the privacy setting to the absolute core. If you want to use Facebook, make sure you make it almost entirely private so people can't access private photos. How can you make something social, like something you use to communicate to people, so private? How can you do that?
Well, I think we've lost the kind of sense of privacy along the way with social media. Twitter is a completely public platform, and that works to some degree because it's just sharing ideas. But when you're posting on Facebook, you don't realize you're posting events in real time. You're telling them where you are, when you're going that place, you know, places you've been, people you've been around. And really, there should only be a select few of people that see that, people that are relevant, you know, people you know in real life. When some people have that completely accessible to anyone who knows your name, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, we are not all public figures, so we shouldn't share so much. Although in the past, we used to have our names and phone numbers in a yellow book. Can you remember that?
Yeah.
So why should I be afraid of sharing my data now if my phone number, home address, and my name were in a book a few years back?
The world is much bigger and there's a lot more stuff you can do with private information. A lot more.
Okay, the world has changed, of course.
Yep.
Step 6, deleting old emails. We've been talking about this. Now you've just accessed your old emails. It's time to delete them too. Delete any emails you no longer need access to, but do not delete emails you may need in the future. If you do need them, change security questions and password. Does anyone still use security questions and password? That sounds ridiculous in 2020.
Yeah, it's completely ridiculous that you even use your phone number for a lot of things because your phone can be compromised so easily in so many ways. They can go right around you, go straight to your provider and get access to your phone number. and they get direct access to your accounts then. It doesn't make any sense for where we are in technology right now.
So there was this technology guy, an engineer from Coinbase, that announced this on Reddit or Twitter, I can't remember exactly, but he said that someone hacked his, did the SIM port hack. They got his phone number from the provider, from the carrier. They tricked the person on the other end to believe it was this guy. They got his phone number and logged in into his account and cleaned him for $100,000 worth of cryptos. So our phone numbers are actually very, very important, and we tend to forget that someone else might get the SIM card or our phone number and get that SMS for two-factor authentication. How do you protect yourself against something like that? Because most people don't understand how easy it is to lose access to your own phone number.
You should really have a really public phone number, and you should have a really, really private phone number that only service providers know about. You don't really have to send any texts, but you definitely have to receive texts. Just while SMS authentication for some providers is the only way to have authentication.
Okay, so
password is definitely not enough.
Also, use a separate phone number just for that.
Yeah, honestly, a lot of phones come with dual SIM ports, and I would use that functionality.
So they can find your phone number through social engineering, and then do a SIM port hack on that.
Yep. If you have it public enough and it's not something you keep to your chest, then they're going to find it out. If you're
okay.
A target, that is.
Note to self. Change the two-factor authentication everywhere where I use my actual phone number. Okay.
Yeah.
Good advice. Securing accounts. Step 7. You should be regularly changing your passwords on services every 6 months. Why? Because new hackers gain access to new databases daily, and they'll start using that information to brute force or in the future to personally attack you. So let's talk about zero day for a second there. There's these databases that are sold first in the underground, and then they become public and only much later get on haveibeenpwned.com or any other database like that. How often do these databases get breached in your experience?
I've seen and been offered databases in the past when I was like, in 2010, I was quite young, and back then I was in that circle and they were getting breached almost weekly, and publicly, it was not being known for quite some time, even in those circles. And now it's much more private because that information is much more accessible. So some databases I've seen being breached, and you may not know for 2 or 3 years that you were breached.
Wow, years ago. 2 or 3 years. So hackers have a lot of room to play with your personal data until everyone finds out.
Yeah, they might not even blow the whistle when they hack someone and try and extort them. That's usually how they get figured out. You know, when they hacked Uber and LinkedIn, they were just trying to extort them. If they never said anything, no one would have ever known.
So even if, let's say, those companies will pay the ransom, that database might eventually go deeper underground to someone else who's buying.
Oh, yeah. There's no rules. There's no rules whatsoever. They can extort, sell it 10 ways. Never sell it and just use it to crack, use it to personally target. You know, they can use regex really easily on these databases and instantly find very high target individuals. You know, if they were already going to target a celebrity, now they have even more information to target that celebrity. And in those circles, they might be targeting 10 or 20 different very high visibility targets. And now they have another database to play around with.
And we learn every day about another company that is losing millions or hundreds of millions of user accounts online. So, yeah.
Yep.
Let's go to step 7B. Do not use any passwords similar to each other. Well, we all do that, don't we?
Yeah.
I've heard of people that have long, complicated passwords, but they keep them not in a password manager, or they don't save them on in the browser, like Google is offering now that option to store your passwords in the browser, or Safari too, or let's say LastPass or any other password manager. They just write down their own very long passwords, and every time they go online on that account, they personally type in the password every single time. Yeah, that sounds a little paranoid, but is it worth it to waste so much time putting in your password every time? How do you do it?
So some password managers like Google for a very long time have been able to be hacked very, very easily. So I would avoid those. I use password managers that are encrypted. So I unencrypt them when I log in. I plug in a USB. I have my password manager on that that's encrypted. I unencrypt it. And then I have all my passwords for that session. And then when I'm done with my computer, I unplug it. I actually have it right here.
Oh yeah, I know those.
On a lanyard.
Yeah. We I know those. So you're recommending like a USB key for that?
Yeah, I bought a $5 lanyard, a $3 USB, and now I have an encrypted drive with my passwords on. That's probably the most secure way to have a password other than memorizing it.
Okay, so you're using the YubiKey or which one?
Yeah, I use the YubiKey.
So people should know, if you don't know already, there's these USBs, they are very cheap. You can use them to encrypt your data physically with that USB. It looks like a USB stick, but it can be even smaller than that. And I've just learned a few days ago that even Apple is going to allow that on the iPhones to have that kind of level of encryption, that FIDO, with a key that has an USB-C end and a Lightning end. So you can plug it in on your computer, your Android phone or your iPhone. If you go in between devices, you can encrypt your data on every one of them.
Yeah, and it's really important to have control of your information. You know, it might not be so important to some people, but definitely if you really high visibility online, you're a big target. You know, that's why I really don't like the attention I'm getting. It just creates bigger issues in your life when it comes to information being released about you and the control you have. It's not just about the media, it's about the people you don't hear in the media.
So when everything blows over, you want to go back to your private life?
Yeah, I have some ideas of what I want to do, but I kind of thought my friend was a little bit gimmicky. I kind of value myself on trying to give information where I can instead of, I don't know, some people might have tried to monetize it a lot more or tried to pump out more content. But that was a really organic, I just came home from work, I saw my friends talking about privacy, and I just wanted to get my thoughts off.
I totally appreciate that. I'm living in the spotlight, so sometimes I wish I would have that kind of privacy. But that's a choice, and that's something you need to fight for, and you're fighting for your privacy, and that's something. That's something to, I don't know, it's precious to you, I guess.
Yeah, to some degree, I live very transparently. I know that some information that I would be willing to leak isn't very smart to leak at the same time.
Let's go ahead. There's still some stuff to cover here. Once they are in, some services will give them access to everything, and it's damn near impossible to get them out of after they are in. So if someone hacks your email account, of course, they're going to have access to anything you do. But there's also different services you already use that also have access to other services, like something like the Facebook login. With the Facebook login, you can go actually on different websites. Most people don't know that Facebook has that power of authentication. How does that work?
So Google has this like one-all thing, and so does Facebook. And that's kind of what I'm talking about in that post, is those kind of services that have a massive ecosystem like Apple, where not only do they have your emails, but they have everything else that you can log into. You know, Microsoft is a really great example where they might have your emails, but they have your Skype too, and those private messages are much more private.
Okay.
You know, things you say with your partner or whatever on Skype can be released now to the world.
So if they hack your Microsoft account, they can go on your Skype. But if they go on your Skype, can they go on your Microsoft account or hack other services you might use?
Yeah, there's a lot of different choices. Some services now are getting much more tight, where they don't allow all that access without further steps of authentication. But a couple years ago, no service was doing that. As soon as you got in, it didn't even alert you that someone breached it. You didn't even have any idea. So you could be using your computer, your services, and have zero idea that someone was inside.
Step 8, protecting your internet connection. You should be using a VPN when using the internet. Do not use a VPN when dealing with banking services or anything confidential, but do use it when publicly surfing the internet. It's the opposite of what we're thinking. Everybody says, use a VPN when you're doing private things like banking. And you're saying the opposite now.
Yeah, I got a lot of people from the tech industry saying I was completely wrong and I was an idiot for a lot of the information I gave out. And quite honestly, I didn't disagree or argue with any of them because I just simply don't care. I've actually hacked people for a very long time as a child. I've been in this community, and one of the things I understand is that VPNs are something that people just don't understand as a whole.
Okay.
It's much more straightforward than what people believe a VPN is, and it's a lot more vulnerable.
How is a VPN vulnerable?
Well, it's hosted on a server, for one, and these servers are hosted on, you know, they might be virtual servers, so they might be on a physical box with loads of other servers. So that might get targeted, and your server might get breached. Now they have access to your VPN, and they can do what they like. There's man-in-the-middle attacks that come out every so often, and the public have no knowledge of this. And let's say, for one of the arguments was that, you know, if you're using banking information and they're listening to your connection, using a VPN would prevent that, when that's not the case. If your connection is breached at the first level, so let's say someone was listening in on my home connection right now, if I was using a VPN, it would not help me, depending on the attack they used.
Okay.
So the reason why I don't like VPNs on a whole is that I think it gives a false sense of security. And once you start using VPNs, your bank has no way of tracking weird kind of movements in your IP or your security in a whole.
Okay, because I know some banks also track your IP, and when you log in from a different IP, they flag that and they might protect your account against a breach. But if you're using a VPN, yeah, that IP changes all the time.
Yeah, right. And there's a couple other aspects to really think of with the VPN. It opens you up to a lot more attacks, is the main thing for me. I don't see why you would want to introduce another point of vulnerability when you're trying to access your money.
Did you ever hear about a VPN service provider coming out and acknowledging that they have been hacked? Does anyone have,
yep,
do they have this level of accountability? Do they ever do that?
Yeah, well, they usually get their arm twisted because, you know, you hear companies like Uber where they'll pay off people to keep quiet and they'll never talk about it. There has been some VPNs that have came out and discussed breaches, but I still believe there was some arm twisting behind it because nobody who is in the market of security is going to come out and say that security was breached.
Of course, it doesn't make a business sense for them. It's not business. It's not good business to.
They're not gonna do that. They're not gonna operate in your best interest. They're operating in their best interest.
Yeah. So no more VPNs. What else?
I wouldn't say that.
So I need to use my home IP, my private IP. That means I need better security on my device then.
Yeah, I think it's very holistic, the sense and approach I have. I think everyone should have a VPN. I think everyone should have a security key. And I think everyone should use a password manager.
Okay. And you're also recommending DuckDuckGo in combination with that VPN when you do searches and everything online. I was just going through my Google dashboard earlier and I've seen so many searches. Most of those searches, I don't need them logged. But we tend to forget that Google remembers every search you do on your account. So using DuckDuckGo, they don't log your searches. So that should help. Is that good enough?
I kind of use Google very, very, in a sense that I know that it's being logged very highly. It's being logged in different places that could be visible to people I don't want it to be, you know, hackers, when they later get access to my account. So I try to use ProtonMail for my email, and I try to use DuckDuckGo mostly for my searches.
Okay.
And when I have to open Google and I think about it, I'm like, okay, someone could view this later on. If they got access to my Google account or what have you, or if I just forgot about it.
But what if you would use Firefox and open Google on that browser, because Firefox has that extension for that privacy extension. Should that work for searches?
Well, it's still logged in your account history, so I would just be really... I would acknowledge if you have many Gmail accounts, which Gmail account and what privacy settings you have on that Google account, and just know that you're using a secure Google account.
Okay.
And that should be enough. I'm not going to say anti-Google and government and stuff, because I'm not one of those people, but just realize that your information is being logged for someone else, which should be you, but it could be someone else.
So that brings us to step 9, using burner accounts. You should be using burner accounts on known intrusive services such as Google by using a fake name and information. This is legal, and you should do it to avoid having your information data mined across services. That's something we've been hearing a lot about lately. Apple is offering that kind of service on their devices, that you can have these sort of burner email accounts that log you in. They create an account for you, but you don't need that email afterwards. You're not going to be spammed or tracked on that email. If you're not using an Apple device with that kind of, let's say, encryption, you're recommending these Google burner accounts. But they take a while to set up. They're not that easily. So how do you convince someone to use burner accounts?
I never like to really plug services I haven't used. So Gmails and other burner accounts, I do myself. But I've used services like privacy.com and Revolut for privacy in terms of my debit card when using that online.
So you
and that can
let me check that. So it's privacy.com?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you can kind of set up debit cards, and you can kind of discontinue them whenever you'd like. So you're not just leaving a bunch of credit cards around.
Okay.
Very, very useful.
Interesting. Okay. Cool stuff. I'm going to check it out. Step 10, okay. Regularly deleting your internet content. You should be regularly deleting your tweets and old photos. This data can be used against you to cross-reference your accounts and find more personal information. Hackers will find a target and analyze them for months. Wow. Deleting your old data. So older than 30, 60, 90 days. How deep should I go?
It really depends on kind of how often you'd like to clean up. I don't think it matters too much as long as you're aware of the fact that you're leaving a ton of breadcrumbs. Sometimes if I know a lot of people are going to be looking at my stuff, like my tweets, I delete quite a lot. And it's not really privacy. I just like keeping a clean timeline. But I've definitely done it with photos on Facebook, where I'll delete them every year or two, because you never know who could one day start, you know, tracking your movements. You see a lot of people disappear in the news, and all of a sudden some stalker has just came into their life, and it's just some random person that you would never suspect. So I guess it's just nice to get in the habit of cleaning up your mess.
So I've even seen cases where people that stalk like that, stalkers, they would look at their reflection on a window to try and get data and find where you live. And some of the celebrities ended up being having a lot of trouble with that kind of people, just from a reflection on the screen or a window. So people don't actually realize how much information they actually share with their photos.
Yeah, you might take a photo that was outside your window in your house. And obviously, everyone can use Google Maps, and they know the rough area of where you live. And they can just go around Google Maps, even if they don't know the area, and they'll be able to find where you just took a photo of. It gets that serious. So it's why a lot of social media teams for celebrities, they say don't post in real time. You know, post after the fact when you're back home or you're in a safe area, because you never know who's out there. And it's a real danger if you're high visibility. You know, obviously, if you're not a target, it might sound like I'm being extremely paranoid, but for some people, this is the reality they live in. And I just think, you know, whether you're a target or not right now, you could be in the future. And it's just nice to have that kind of awareness that this kind of thing is happening.
So don't post when you're there, post when you're at home, and vice versa, let's say.
Yeah, if you don't have control over the platform. You know, if you're on Snapchat and they're all your friends, you know, you can post whatever you like, but some people have their Snap Maps on at all times and they add absolutely everybody that adds them.
Okay.
Which is very, very dangerous.
Step 10B, hackers will use your old internet information to do some of this analyzing in retrospect to piece together who your social circle is to find a vulnerability, like you've been saying. Anyone can be attacked. You just haven't been a target yet. Defend yourself through prevention. So this is why you're saying delete your old stuff. Be careful what you post and when you're posting that. If you really want to do it at a point in time when you're not vulnerable. Isn't it?
I would, my kind of paradigm, I think, of this kind of stuff isn't really too much paranoia or safety. I just think it's common sense at this point. I think we've been desensitized to kind of a lot of the sloppy behavior we have. You know, a lot of this stuff is very new technology and it's kind of seen as playful and fun. And, you know, it's not really cool to think about the downsides of when you're at the club flexing or, you know, you're having a really good time out. But it's real life, you know, real life consequences for whatever you do.
So step 10C actually talks about what we've been talking earlier. Hackers can even go in the reflections in a pop star's eyes. So the stalker knows where she is by the reflection in her eye. People are actually crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's actually crazy. Okay, so there's that's kind of it. There's also some more stuff you're talking about in there, but I'm going to let people go through it if they really want it. But most of it, like I said, it's common sense. Since the thread, did you get any more valuable insights that you would like to share? What happened to you? Because I understand you've been going also through some changes.
My personal life has kind of been hectic since then, and I've moved back home and... You know, I got approached by quite a few people to kind of do a similar thing to this. It felt like loads of stuff was coming at me at once. And I don't know, I really learned that I wanted to do a lot more stuff in tech in terms of providing information to people that may not have access to it. They may not be in these circles. They may not be enough well-versed in tech to kind of understand what's going on. And I kind of like Twitter as a platform. So I'm hoping to come back and, you know, maybe do some YouTube, maybe do some Twitter. It really depends how it goes.
So eventually on your YouTube, your Twitter account, I might see some new stuff?
Yeah, I'm really trying to get into ethical hacking, really. I'm hammering away some certifications. I'm trying to get a little bit better at explaining what I'm doing. And I'm hoping to bring... security and programming to people in a different way that you might not have seen before.
Because going through your Twitter feed since October 20 until February 18th, there's nothing in there. So some stuff happened in the meanwhile.
Oh, yeah. I was working a lot of hours at my day job. All my coworkers kind of found out about, you know, me going... Twitter viral and what have you, and kind of a lot of people in my friends and family. I kind of didn't like how many people had access to me. It kind of made me kind of frustrated, especially the tech industry, because it's not the way you would talk to people if you ever saw them. People were really getting quite spiteful. So I thought I'd take a break and really think about how I want to do this. And now I'm back.
Okay, glad to have you back, Liam. Also, I'm very thankful for your time. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us and share your insights. For some, you might seem a little paranoid, but what would you say to someone who says, come on, I cannot live like that. I cannot take all that time just to go through my day. How would you give it to them in a nutshell?
Well, first off, thank you very much for having me on your show. And in terms of that person... If you haven't found the need to do something, then just learn your lesson the hard way, I guess. Try and find shortcuts using software that makes it a lot easier. For me, I live and breathe tech, so I have a lot of time devoted to it, and I've lived the reality of the consequences of not being quite so careful. So my reality might be a lot different to yours, but I guess people really like the thread because it gave you an insight into what could happen. I mean, if you're not so careful and you become a target for whatever reason.
Vă mulțumesc tuturor că ne-ați urmărit. I-am mulțumit și lui Liam, care a împărtășit cu noi mai multe informații decât sunt disponibile pe contul lui de Twitter. O să las un link către tot thread-ul lui și o să las și un link către Unroll, app care pur și simplu face toate postările lui sub forma unui articol, ca să treceți prin ele, mai ales pentru link-urile acelea. Intrați pe postarea lui și încercați să folosiți de acolo, chiar dacă folosiți doar câteva sfaturi din ce ați văzut, veți fi mai în siguranță. Gândiți-vă că mai mult ca niciodată datele noastre sunt online și banii noștri sunt legați de identitatea noastră digitală. Și un hoț care nu-ți bagă mâna în buzunar, în public, s-ar putea să-ți poată băga mâna pe internet în buzunar și nu ți-ai dat seama niciodată. Mai bine să-ți pese înainte să te doară. Cam atât pentru astăzi. Sper că ți-a fost de folos și acest episod din IGDLCC. Le mulțumesc membrilor noștri care ne susțin în fiecare zi și le mulțumesc celor care ne ascultă indiferent de platformă. Ne puteți asculta și pe Spotify, Google Podcast, TuneIn, Deezer și pe buchnici.ro/podcast. Iar până data viitoare să vă fie numai bine!